There was once a saying, I meant to look this up, of the origin of this saying, maybe it was Shakespeare, who knows, that all roads lead to Rome. It was never true, of course. All roads never lead to the same direction, although sometimes they may seem to. Wisdom requires that in life we choose our roads carefully, just as if we're driving from here to someplace that we've never been for. We choose our roads carefully, and it's the same way in life. When we come to a crossroad, any place that a decision has to be made, we must look for signposts if they're there and choose our road wisely. Like everyone else, I think life would be a lot simpler if it came with something as useful as the dashboard GPS device. When they invented the Garmin or the TomTom, I thought the greatest thing that ever happened to navigation came right to my lap. I would love to have a GPS device for my life, and I would like to come with the voice of a cheerful young woman to say, turn here, go left here, and under no circumstances go down that road. That's what I wish, but that's not how it works. Well, this morning we come to Mount Sinai, Israel's crossroad in the wilderness. They have left slavery in Egypt, and they are on what turns out to be a very long road indeed to the promised land in Canaan. They have come to Sinai. Moses went up the mountain, and from the Israelites' point of view, all they see is thunder and lightning on the mountain, and of course, and rightly so, they are terrified. And when Moses comes down from the mountain, he has with him the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets. And these Ten Commandments certainly get a lot of press and a lot of admiration in our country. It seems to be more important to some people that they be posted in schoolrooms and courthouses than it is to stand up for what the commandments actually require of us, which is to oppose all forms of idolatry, to oppose all forms of injustice, and all forms of violence. And those who admire the Ten Commandments are not always those who follow them carefully. So I'd like to invite us this morning to take a new look at the Ten Commandments. They don't get a lot of press in our churches. They certainly get more press in the press, I think, than they do in our churches. I'd like to invite us to see the Ten Commandments from a completely different angle than maybe we've looked at them before. Let's not look at them as comforting wall decorations on our public buildings or in the Sunday school rooms upstairs in our church. Let's not look at them as a list of do's and don'ts that many of us learned, so all of us heard and many of us learned in Sunday school. And let's certainly not look at them as the list of things that we have to do in order to avoid a divine smackdown. No. That's not what the Ten Commandments are at all. I invite us this morning to see them differently, to see them as signposts on a difficult and dangerous road. Simply signposts that say this way and not that way. Signposts that point the way home when we're lost. Signposts that say this way to health, to wholeness, to sanity. This way to a right relationship with God. This way to a good neighborhood and a good world. The book of Exodus teaches us three things in this long journey from Egypt to Canaan. It teaches us that God called Israel and God calls us to a risky journey. That's the first thing that the book of Exodus teaches us as a whole. God calls us to a risky journey. The second thing is God will provide everything we need for that journey. And the third thing is God calls us, and here's a naughty word in our culture, God calls us to obedience. At every step of the journey, God allows people to choose. God allows Israel to choose, and God certainly allows us. Obey or disobey. Continue or turn back. Praise or complain. So our question at each step is exactly the same as Israel's questions were. What choices do we make? Which leads, of course, to another question. Are the choices that we make, and all of us make choices every day and every moment, are the choices we make in line with God's priorities? Are they in line with the choices that God wants us to make? Do we do what we want to do, or do we do what God wants us to do? Now, we Americans are not big on obedience. We don't even like the word, and we use it as rarely as we can. Why on earth should we even consider making the dusty old Ten Commandments central to our lives and to our decision making? Well, God says to Israel, and God says to us, look what I have done for you. I brought you out of slavery. I delivered you from your enemies. I provided water and bread and meat for you in the middle of the empty desert. I am the God who loves you and takes care of you. Look at what I hold out to you, and all I ask is that you love me as I love you. I have set my heart and my desire on you. Set your heart and your desire on me, and only on me, and I will bless you beyond your imagining. And that, by the way, is the theme of the whole book of Deuteronomy, not that we read that book here. Set your heart and your delight on me, and I will bless you beyond imagining. Friends, the Ten Commandments, these dusty old things, are nothing less to us than God's offer of life, of whole and healthy and sane life. They are the signposts on the road toward blessing and health and away from the path of work and worry and worry and work, and that is the path that all of us in this room know very well. That path is the world's path, and it is the path to slavery. God brought Israel out of slavery and then gave them the commandments. And God gave Israel and us the commandments precisely so that they would never be slaves again and so that they would never make slaves of others. The only antidote to the world's sickness is to set our sights and our priorities solely on God, to choose God as the only desire of our deepest hearts, and to treat our neighbors with the same love that God has shown for us. Now, we can't and we're not going to look at the commandments one by one this morning. I've been telling myself for years that someday I'm going to preach a sermon series on each of the Ten Commandments. I haven't quite done it yet, and I know I'm not going to do it this year. But for right now, let's look at the Ten Commandments in the three short pieces that they are broken into. The first three commandments are about our relationship with God, and they tell us that God's claim on our lives, and this is the whole point of the Ten Commandments, and this is the whole point of the Old Testament right here. God's claim on our lives overrides any and every other claim and loyalty, claim of family, claim of country, claim of our job or work or anything. God's claim on our lives overrides every other claim and loyalty. Have no other gods, God says to us. Make no idol, nor worship one. Make no wrongful use of God's name. These commandments mean that we choose to renounce all those other loyalties, those other gods that lead only to brokenness. We commit idolatry. You and I commit idolatry every single time that we choose to trust someone or something more than we trust God. And honestly, friends, if we look deep, every one of us do that on a regular basis. I believe that the other gods in their modern costumes are all the destructive isms that are all around us. Racism, sexism, nationalism, that's a big one these days. And so is militarism and consumerism. All of these are attempts to organize and control our lives apart from God's purpose for creation, and many of them, maybe all of them, are used by other people to make of us into slaves. But by putting God first, by refusing to worship anyone or any other thing before we worship God, we participate in God's purpose for creation, which is love and justice and blessing. Now, the last six commandments, now notice that I mentioned three, and now I'm talking about six, so we haven't even added up to 10 yet. The last six commandments, which are honor your parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal or lie or covet. These are about our relationships with each other and about being good neighbors and building a good neighborhood. From Israel's point of view, they are a commitment to treat each other differently than Egypt treated them. From our point of view, they are signposts again. This way to a community where people respect each other, love each other, and take care of each other. And I love the idea of looking away from the commandments as just a list of rules that we have to obey to be good, as a signpost to healthy living instead. And we need to look at all of them, but especially today, and especially this week, I believe that our country needs to take a long and hard look at the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And I tend to slip back into the language of the King James when I read the commandment, because there is power in those words. We live in a country where virtually anyone can buy battlefield weapons that kill and injure hundreds of people in just a few minutes. And our hearts were broken for a day or two or three after Las Vegas. I think that was Monday. Monday morning we started to get that news. And our hearts are already moving on now, many of us. We also live in a country whose leadership seems to be itching to start a war in a faraway place called North Korea. So just because we have not personally murdered anyone does not mean that we do not participate actively or passively in a culture that makes a god of violence and death and seeks that first as a solution to problems, both personal problems and international ones. As Christians, as citizens of this country, and as members of the human race, we must demand of our country and of our leaders to put down both the words and the weapons that kill and destroy or lead to killing and destruction. Thou shalt not kill means for us, thou shalt not participate in a culture that kills. I don't know what that means in terms of this law or that law, this vote or that vote, but I do know this. Thou shalt not kill. Not as an individual, not as a community, and not as a country. Thou shalt not kill. So commandments 1 through 3 are about our relationship with God, and 5 through 10 are about our relationship with each other. And that leaves the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And that's right in the middle, and it's in the middle because it is the bridge between the two sets of commandments. Sabbath, which is simply the Hebrew word for rest. Sabbath is important for our relationship with God, and it's important for building a good neighborhood. Sabbath is when we choose to slow down enough to listen to God and to each other. Sabbath is the most visible, concrete way that we can turn ourselves away from the slavery called work and worry, worry and work. We know that it's not healthy to work 7 days a week, week after week after week. A healthy lifestyle requires us to stop and to rest. And that's why God built that into the creation of the world, and God built that into the community that He called Israel to be. So obedience to God's will, as expressed through the commandments, is not about making God happy. It's also not about keeping God from being angry. Obedience is simply what happens when we make God and God's priority our heart's desire. I believe that obedience is truly the path to healthy living, and that the Ten Commandments are the signposts for us on that pathway. This way to wholeness, to health, to sanity, and to a good neighborhood together. God holds out to us this morning the same choice that God did to Israel so long ago. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Our existence and our abundance, all the blessings that we can count when we take the time to count them, are God showing us how much we are loved. God reveals God's love for us by blessing us. Obedience is how we show our love for God. We don't earn God's love with obedience. We respond to God's love with obedience. So friends, this morning God invites you and me to choose life, to read and follow the signposts that God has placed on our dangerous and slippery road, to make God's priorities and God's love the delight and desire of our deepest heart. So with every choice we make, with every crossroad we come to, let's seek to answer the question, what does the Scripture and the Ten Commandments and my understanding of them teach us about what God wants of me in this moment? Let's pray together. Lord God, we'd like to think that living is easy and decisions are easy, and that every point we will know this is what God wants and this is what God does not want. But Heavenly Father, it's so complicated, and our world is so confusing and so dangerous. Teach us to trust you, God, to trust you first, and to put all other trusts in second place. Teach us to love and honor and respect you first, and to put all other love and trust and respect in second place to you. Teach us to put you first, Lord God. Teach us to live rightly for ourselves and for our world, that your love and your justice and the end of violence will come to our lives, to our communities, and to our whole world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.